Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I am one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and here as always, my co-host,
Graham K. Hello everybody, thanks so much for listening once again. We are back with another hot episode. Especially hot because Kirk is all the way in Hawaii visiting a sister who he has not seen in over a year. How is Hawaii?
Aloha.
Hawaii.
It is Hawaii.
Did I say that right?
I think they do like this thing where the W is a V kind of thing. Hawaii. Kind of like the Finns do in the Norwegians.
Like Germans
Hawaii.
Or something.
It's good. Mm. It's good. It's weird. It's different. I don't know what I expected, but it's clearly the U.S. because they've got Walmart and all this kind of stuff. And
oh, thank
dollars.
God. Yeah.
But it's not the mainland, I'll tell you that. It's very interesting. Went snorkeling yesterday on the west side of the island. I'm on Oahu. And they have got... I didn't know this, but they have homeless people here because it's still part of the United States, so you don't need a visa, and you could just take a one-way ticket out to Hawaii and camp out at the beach.
So they have homeless people there.
They have a real homeless problem, yeah. Hmm. Which I like things like that I did not realize. So just like kind of like Los Angeles does, same kind of deal. Same kind of deal. Where it's
those are some extra industrious homeless people, though.
Yeah.
They can afford a Delta flight. That's some
Southwest is going to start flying here too, so it's going to empty out.
Southwest.
It's very interesting. Southwest is going to start flying here, man.
That's pretty much a Greyhound bus.
Yeah, it's going to be what do you like to call it? A tin can full of farts?
Yes, that's what I call it. Recycled farts. They just have that little fan that you twist on top and it blows other people's coughs and farts on you. Oh, I love it.
That pushes the farts directly into your eyeball.
Yeah, directly in your eyes, in your ears. It's great. Right in your nostrils.
Perfect.
It's the best.
That's
what
I'm
a little
was
hot. Like, I just get everyone's coughs to blow on me.
I sat next to a man on the plane. I hate not to brag, but sat second row from the back, middle seat next to the toilets. Ooh. And
nice. I like a nice group D guy.
I was
group D
nine.
By the toilets, everyone. Group C has already boarded. Group D,
I was
toilet
group
people.
Nine. I'm not exaggerating. Group nine.
group nine.
I didn't even know they had a group nine.
No, group nine, they just take your carry on and they throw it on the runway and they're like, you don't get this. There's no room. There's no room left on the overhead compartments.
If there's anybody that hasn't boarded or if there's any like half-drinking cafe lattes who would like to go to Hawaii or anybody else, just wander on the plane now. There's no room in the overhead bins. Come on in.
There's no room. Can I little
I
side
sat next
note.
To a guy.
Go ahead. No, tell your story.
I was going to say, I sat next to a man whose breath was so bad it woke me up from a deep sleep.
Oh, my
I was sleeping.
God.
I'm like, what is that? And it's this guy's wide open mouth breathing my direction. I was like, wow,
oh,
something died.
No, Kirk. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That is my worst nightmare.
Living it up.
Ugh. People. Oh, my God. That's terrible. So, the good news is he didn't smell the bathroom because thankfully his mouth was in the way.
It was all halitosis. Guys, if you've learned one thing from this podcast, please floss.
Floss.
There's little bits of food in there that are disintegrating and it stinks.
Yeah.
Please floss your mouths.
I started flossing about every day about a year, over a year ago, but a year and a half ago. And I was hanging out with a friend I hadn't seen in a while, and he's like, your breath has really improved. I was like, what do you mean improved? It was bad? He's like, well, I'm like, why don't you tell me? Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
God, what my life could have been if I just flossed the whole time.
About all these women that you should text out of the blue and be like, listen, I'm not saying we should get back together, but I do want you to know I no longer have bad breath.
I floss. No one told me. People... True friends tell you.
Stupid.
You know what I mean? You need like a nice person with autism that doesn't have a filter to just be like, you have terrible... Peter would tell me that all... My brother, Peter, by the way, this is the Comedian's Guide to Autism. We are two comedians who do not have autism. However, we both have loved ones in our family we love and very much who are autistic on the spectrum. My brother is younger than me. He's 33, somewhere in the middle. And Kirk's lovely son, JJ, is 19.
I have a severely autistic son, yeah, who is on the severe end, no talking. So, like, for example, then we can review. He had a fever today.
Uh-oh.
And they sent him home from school, but he can't tell you he has a fever. He doesn't say when he's sick. Sometimes he'll say, "Are you okay?" And that means he's not okay.
Something's wrong.
And that means something's wrong, but it could be a stomach ache or a headache, or maybe he misses his mom, or who knows. So then you're left to guess, right? You're trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my trip to Hawaii. I'm still here. I'm at Sharky's Comedy Club downtown. In a Halekoa Hotel. Yeah, I've arrived.
How are the shows? You already did a show. I saw it on Instagram. Was it good? It looked packed.
Yeah, Saturday. It was a full little show. A lot of veterans out here. That's another thing. It's a lot of veterans in Hawaii. I didn't realize that for some reason. And a lot of old white people wearing really bad colored shirts that they were going to wear
once.
That's what
I expected. I didn't expect homeless people, but that is why old white guys with sunburns. Wearing a lot of
really
patterns.
Bad sunburns.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of patterns of shirts that they'll wear once and then go back home to Wisconsin and never wear again.
Nope. Why would you?
But it's good. My son's doing good. We can review his face is starting to heal up. I did get a letter that we should read later on. We'll do it in our letter section at the end about a lady who has epilepsy, talking about some of the epilepsy things. And as it relates to her two autistic kids, I believe it's two, and I'll pull up this letter. Mm-hmm. But it was a good week. How about you? How's Peter doing?
Peter got the MRI back, as you guys know, and he's 2 weeks away from getting his arm out of a sling. He fell down helping my parents lift a canoe. Very the most Canadian of injuries. He fell carrying a canoe. And
I love it.
Yep. And he my mother's 70th birthday is tomorrow. My mother, Constance, great woman, lovely woman. I love her very much. Mom, if you're listening to this, which you're not, I love you very much. I wish you supported me more. No, she's great, Mom. She's fantastic. She's a fantastic mother. Peter and I are very lucky. I just called my brother a little bit before to check in, and she was over there. She was part of the condo board association of the condo he lives in, and they had two meetings, and she had a break in the middle, so she is imposing herself on my brother in his apartment, which he is not thrilled about, but that's fine.
That's his favorite.
They're hanging out. Let's post this. I'll send you the card he gave my mom for her birthday. Peter has a skill of giving really good cards. I don't know how he does it, but they're always fresh and they're always really funny. And he sent her a card. Because he's always complaining that she nags him too much. And it's funny. It's like you don't think that he would have the ability to get these funny cards, but he just hits it out of the park every single time. And he got her a card that's like, you know, this is me listening to all the times you gave me advice, or thanks for all the advice. And it's just this, you know, drawing of a son ignoring his mother. It's pretty fun. Anyway, made my mom laugh out loud. She sent it to me, and we'll post it on our Facebook page, the Autastic Facebook page. But yeah, he's doing fine. Peter's fine. He's been on a long walk with a friend yesterday to stay in shape. I'm telling him not to drink too much beers and to go on long walks because he can't work out because of his arm. He's not working right now, and his job has been cool, and they're not gonna lay him off. So. You know, things are fine. Things are fine.
That's great. That's great.
Yep. My mom's having a big party tomorrow. My mom is trying to turn it into my birthday week, she said. And then she said...
Oh, boy. She's trying to turn into the L.A. girl.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's 70. and my dad was, and she, my mom goes, well, I'm trying to turn it into a birthday week, but of course your father says it's too expensive. So, you know, they're figuring it out.
So they've been married 40 years, going on 41.
42 years.
Yeah.
So Peter was like, yeah, he went for dinner yesterday at my mom's place, at my parents' place, and he got leftovers and pie, and I'm like, man, that sounds great. I never get to have that kind of food. And he's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I don't make it. He's like, are you too busy? I'm like, no. He's like, then why don't you do it? I'm like, don't know, Peter. Leave me alone. I'm not going to make a bouff bourguignon. I don't even know if that is.
That's funny. He's probably like, yeah, you're too busy flossing your teeth. Did I tell you, Graham, you have bad breath? It's finally improved. Thank God.
Yeah.
Just calls you out directly. Oh, that's funny.
I loved it, though. Every time I lived at home.
It's going to be a bad breath card.
My brother would always tell everyone if they had bad breath. My mom used to have dragon breath coming home from work, drinking coffee all day. Oof. And my Peter would be like, Mom, I can't hug you. Your breath stinks. He'd be like, 7 years old. smells gross. I'll be like, yes, awesome.
It's a win-win.
Win-win.
Well, should we do it in the news?
Let's do in the news.
This is, which article should we do first? You want to do the...
you choose.
All right, I'll do the Irish Examiner.
Do it.
Well, I'm definitely older, and you're definitely better looking. Here we go.
I don't know about that. You're definitely older.
In the Irish Examiner, the male brain autism theory backed by biggest study ever. A new study of 500,000 people, including 36,000 people diagnosed with autism, underwent tests designed to measure such traits as empathy, emotional response, and systematic thinking. Researchers found that women on average had higher empathy scores than men, while men scored higher for systeming and traits associated with autism, such as not being as good at recognizing and responding to other people's thoughts and feelings.
So like regular men.
Regular men, yeah, compared to the typical population.
Basically, they had a study and they're like, women are different than men. same thing in autism.
They could have interviewed any of my ex-girlfriends and been like, yeah, Kirk isn't as empathetic as I am. I'm like, yeah, it's probably true.
Turns out all men are slightly autistic. Huh.
I'm just concerned, Kirk, that you aren't able to see things from my point of view.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame it on the autism. By the way, your breath stinks. Okay, I'll continue reading here. Dr. Varun Warner, member of the Cambridge University team, said the sex differences in the typical populations are very clear. We know from related studies that individual differences in empathy are partly genetic and partly influenced by our prenatal hormonal exposure, partially due to the environmental experience. We need to investigate the extent to which these observed sex differences are due to each of these factors and how they interact. The findings were reported in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. A study, the largest ever of its kind conducted, provides evidence supporting two longstanding theories on psychological gender differences in autism. I think you hit it on the head, though. I think... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the old joke, right, about men and differences between men and women. But yeah, that's true. There's definitely some differences.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's accentuated in the autistic world.
Half a million people. But yeah, I think it is. I think it is accentuated.
Want to do the second one?
I want to read this letter. Is that all right?
Go ahead. Yeah, read the letter. One.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do whatever.
We could do the second
one. It's our podcast, Kirk. We can do whatever we want, man.
We could do whatever we want. Okay. So this was, I asked you guys for your responses on, for the epilepsy. I hope that you'll find this podcast not just a source of encouragement, but also to learn stuff about different things that I would have found helpful when my kids were young and I wasn't fully in the know. So we got a message from Susan J., Hey, Kirk, I listened to episode 156 of Autastic today. I've had a seizure disorder and had my first seizure when I was 16 years old. I'm also a hospital pharmacist, so I have some professional as well as personal familiarity with the topic. I thought I'd write you to share some of my experiences with you. Hopefully, some of this really long email will be helpful. Okay, seizures because of anesthesia are very rare. Most anesthetics have an anti-seizure effect that can be used in the treatment of severe ongoing seizures seen in a condition called status epilepticus. One study found that only 2% of 297 epileptic patients had an EEG changes that could indicate seizure activity while they were under anesthesia. He would need anesthesia for health care, and going without the care would definitely be a bigger risk than the anesthesia itself. So this is a confirmation of what you said. You remember, Graham, we were talking about this?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that, you know, if I don't get his teeth fixed and we don't have that thing removed on his head, then it's like that also has risk associated. Okay, so back to the letter. Some of the other medications used along with anesthesia have more of an issue than the anesthesia itself. Sleep is a complex biological process, and some drugs will let you be unconscious but not let your brain do all the things that it needs to restore itself. It's like taking Benadryl for insomnia. You're not really rested the next day. Seizures may not be listed as a side effect of these drugs, but I have personally felt like I was going to have a seizure the day after taking them. It makes sense to me that JJ would have a seizure not the day of the surgery, but 24 to 48 hours later if he took the drugs, and here are some of the ones I would try to avoid. And then she goes through a list. One of them is Benadryl, Tramadol for pain, Meperdine, which is Pethardine in Sweden. She looked them up in Sweden, I guess. Promethionide. Oh, my goodness. I'm an idiot. And then Metoclopramide for nausea. So she thinks those would be related. When he has to go under again, they should consider giving him a long-acting benazidine for clonazepam after the procedure. It's not a medication you'd want to use often for seizures because it loses effectiveness with each use, but it would work great for keeping his seizures at a higher threshold after procedure. I take it occasionally when the kids team up on us from sleep overnight. On a personal note, I always found that the seizure disorders were scarier for parents. The person having the seizure gets to come in and not remember the whole thing. Everyone else has this very stressful memory and worry. I got the raw end of the deal. No, sorry, you got the raw end of the deal. He'll probably move on before you do. Do the things they recommend for safety. Avoid swimming. Take showers rather than baths. No heavy equipment. Get him on a medication if his doctor thinks it's warranted. There's some good ones out there that work without bad side effects. Hopefully they can check him to see if there may be other triggers for his seizures that could be avoided. Some of the common ones include lack of sleep, stress, caffeine, and alcohol. Well, he's definitely off the alcohol. Give JJ some Tylenol, ibuprofen for a day after the seizures. His muscles will be sore everywhere. I thought it was a really sweet letter. I love the podcast. We're raising two autistic boys, and it's nice to hear something funny and honest on the topic. Keep up the good work. Susan J., thank you so much for your letter. This is why I like when we say, if this is going through, because statistically, somebody has this exact experience. This lady's a pharmacist with epilepsy and two kids with autism. So
it's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
What a niche group we've accumulated with this podcast. I love it. I love it. That's a sweet letter. What a wonderful person.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. We honestly, our listeners are the best people. They are the best people. There are people that have gone through stuff and have persevered and have empathy for other human beings. Just the best. We appreciate your letters. Thank you so much. We love you guys. Want to do the other one? The other in the news?
Yeah, keep the letters coming. Yeah, the other news, this is from the WKBW Buffalo.
Ooh.
Buffalo researchers find highly effective, quote-unquote, treatment for children with autism. Researchers at the Kinesis College Institute for Autism Research have published the results of a school-based clinical trial that had great success in treating high-functioning students with autism. The innovative approach involved 103 students at 35 school districts across Western New York. About half of the students received the normal treatment support, and the other half participated in a method called SchoolMax. It's a very big deal because we saw significant improvements in these kids, said Dr. Marcus Thomer. He is the co-director of IAR. It doesn't say what that stands for. Okay. And it's got to be the their Institute of Autism Research. That's what this goes. He is the co-director of IAR and is one of the study's lead authors. This one is randomized control trial, but that's one of the gold standards to evaluate treatment. Children with AFASD, which is high functioning autism spectrum disorder, have relative strengths when it comes to the cognition and language, but they can struggle with social understanding, social interactions, and repetitive or restrictive behaviors. One of the challenges for these students is getting support and treatment in social and emotionally throughout the day, Dr. Thormer explains. The problem for kids with high functioning autism is that the problem with kids with high functioning autism that are in schools is the treatment or the interventions that they get or receive are more compartmentalized. In order to address this challenge, Dr. Thomer and his team adopted an approach where they've been using in summer camp style treatment programs and created SchoolMax. It involves weekly social skill groups, therapeutic activities, and emotional recognition. The existing teachers and support staff in schools were trained in the SchoolMax approach and have implemented it throughout a full school year. Well, it doesn't really get into the method other than it sounds like camp style treatment programs. So weekly social skills groups. It sounds like you're playing around a camp.
Written article made by a Buffalo TV station is not the best article. If you're in the Buffalo area, it's definitely something
there's
to look into.
A couple of grammar mistakes.
What was the name of the? You can look it up. We'll post it on the Facebook page.
The college is Canisius. Maybe I'm pronouncing this wrong. It's Canisius. Canisius College. Canisius College Institute for the Autism Research. So yeah, if you're local to that area, check it out. Let us know. Give us your feedback on what you think of how that's going. And
SchoolMax. It's called the program is called SchoolMax with a capital M-A-X.
Yeah, that's the method. That's right.
So yeah, that's the method. Whatever.
Anyway,
Graham. I basically sounds like if you pay more attention, if the kid gets more help, they're better.
Make eye contact. Talk to the kid. Pretend it's camp. Know. Hey, talk to your neighbor. Play duck, duck, to goose. I don't know.
anyway. Those are two articles. I don't know.
Yeah, those two articles. And, what do you got this week? You're in Europe, huh? France? No, Belgium.
I'm in Europe. I leave. I'm going to France in an hour. I'm flying to France, man. I leave in 45 minutes. Taking the subway to JFK.
Woo.
I'm going on vacation. This worked out poetically. When I first started comedy 11 years ago, I told myself I was not going to go on vacation until I got a late night TV set in stand-up comedy, and it's going to air on the 16th of November is the new air date, and it's going to air while I'm on that vacation. So that's fun. Yeah.
I guess that's poetic, kind of frustrating, but what are you going to do? Yeah, it's great. That's great.
That's great.
Watch
whatever.
It
Who cares?
Alone in a hotel.
They always want you to have like a... Yeah. Yeah. Well, I probably won't see it at all. I'll just see the link.
That's probably
on
blocked.
YouTube. But the thing is, they always make you... Like, they're always like... There's always pressure to have viewing parties at a bar with all your friends and stuff. And... I don't know. It just seems like a lot. The idea of me being at a bar with all my friends and watching them watch my set sounds like hell to me.
And then watching you.
Like if I would leave. Yeah. So I just I'm happy that I don't have to do a viewing party.
Well,
I can just it happened and then put up the link.
Well, you're in luck then. You'll be out of here. You won't even know. I will post it.
I'll be in Gay Paris.
I will post it on our Facebook page when it comes out, guys. You can catch me this week at Sharky's in beautiful Oahu. One more week and then Florida. Go ahead, buddy.
Go to Hawaii, guys. Why not? Just go to Hawaii. This is a reason. If you never had a reason before, go to Hawaii.
I got a couple people coming out, so hopefully it'll be good. Catch me on Kirk Smith Comedy on Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate your notes and letters, guys. Rate and review the podcast. That means a lot to us. It really helps us. And
Patreon.com/autastic. That's a way you can donate to the podcast. You can donate $1 per episode, or $5 per episode, whatever you want,
you
guys.
Per month, too.
So it is.
If you want to do $5 a month or whatever, that's also great. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah. So it's patreon.com/autastic. Patreon.com/autastic. That's how the podcast people do it. That's how we make money. We use Patreon.
Yeah.
So,
or if you're not into that,
we would appreciate your donations.
If you don't have any money and you're between, spread the word, tag a friend, send it to your friends. That's how this podcast grows. Or you can send us.
Let's keep it growing. Yeah. We're growing. Keep it growing.
Send us your notes on Facebook and email. Blah blah blah. That's it.
You're jet lagged. I'm about to be jet lagged. Let's finish this podcast. I'm Instagram K on Instagram, Mr. Graham K on Twitter, and Comedy by the Graham on the internet. ComedyByTheGraham.com, that is. That's my website. Follow me on the whatever. Be my friend on Facebook. Be our friend on Facebook on the join the Autastic page. You know what I mean? There's plenty of ways to interact. Send us a letter. Tell us, we'll probably read it on the air, you know, if you have any suggestions or personal experience you'd like to share with us and share with our listeners that you feel another parent, or if you are a person with autism and you want to share your thoughts on our podcast, or you have any advice for anybody out there who is a caretaker of somebody with autism, write us a letter on our Facebook page, or you can write us an email. What's our email address again?
AutasticPodcast@gmail.com. But
that's it.
Yeah, or you could just
AutasticPodcast@gmail.com.
If that bounces back, you can send it to my direct one as well, KirkSmithComedy@gmail.com. I feel like I get both of them. I think that's it, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.
Bye bye.